All right, let's go then to Colossians chapter 4. Dan finished up to verse 9. Colossians chapter 4, last Sunday afternoon. Colossians 4, and if anybody needs the page number, we'll give it out as what?
1562.
Thank you, Anthony. 1562. 1563. Okay. Thank you, Bill.
He turned the page.
All right. Colossians 4. It stopped at verse 9 last time. Let's begin reading with verses 10, 11, and 12. Colossians 4, 10, 11, 12. Beginning at verse number 10 together. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Justus, which is called Justus, which are the circumcision, these only are the fellow laborers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras also is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All right, from verses 7 to the end, how many individuals does he name? See if we can count them up. I've got a figure, but I want to see if you're right or I'm right.
Six.
Keep going. Goes out there, questions at bftbc.org if you got a number, or call us, 856-261-9018.
7 through 18?
Yes, 7 through 18.
18.
Well, you got how many?
Nine.
I agree with Anna. Nine names. Now, there are others that are listed. Those in Laodicea, you know what I mean, specifically named. What'd you get? Anybody else get nine?
I said 18 first.
Yeah, up to the end.
Nine.
Yeah, to the very end, was it? Nine, okay, nine that are named. All right, now let's, now Dan reviewed the first couple of ones, but let's just go back there. Just for curiosity, I just wanted to be sure to get this. Okay, if we go and start with number seven, what's the man's name there?
Tychicus.
Okay, what was he? What does it say about him?
He's a brother.
Okay, what does a beloved brother, what does brother mean? Like in the unions?
Fellow Christian.
What is it? Okay, go ahead. What's the update? Questions of VFBBC.org?
The United States has 12.3% of people. Meaning the whole United States. But in the government work industry, you have 50% of government workers.
Okay.
Ron, wait.
Yes, that's
okay,
right?
But this brotherhood is not of the unions or teachers or whatever, or hospital people or whatever, or firemen. But these are fellow Christians. Now, what is beloved? What does that mean? All right, so he just isn't anyone. Paul and he, their fellowship is a very kind and beloved fellowship. He's a beloved brother. All right, that's the first one. All right, verse 8, who's the second one? Wait a minute, this tells what he's doing here. He's sent to know the purpose, the your state, and to comfort your heart. So what does comfort your heart, what does that mean? How many people know how to comfort others?
A lot of people.
Does everyone here know how to comfort others?
I do.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Not everybody.
See.
But not everybody has that.
Did Job have some comforters?
Yeah. They weren't comforters.
Were they good or bad comforters?
Yeah.
What does he call them? Miserable comforters. If he does say so himself. Do you think that's being politically correct with those three?
No,
it wasn't, but it was the truth. Miserable comforters. Was it?
They weren't exactly politically correct.
What's the second one that they had? What's that? What's his name? Onesimus. Okay. What is he called?
Faithful.
Faithful and beloved. Right now. He adds to the beloved. Now, beloved, question, question. What does this faithful mean?
True.
All right.
Trustworthy.
In other words, if he says he's going to do something, he's faithful, he will come do it and so on.
Christine,
good to have you here this afternoon.
Oh.
Long time no see. Glad to see you back with us.
Dedicated in the Lord.
Dedicated in the Lord. Faithful. First time on line yet, Tammy.
It's interesting that Paul calls him faithful because probably his master didn't think he was faithful because he ran away.
Yes, and Dan covered that, didn't he, last week about Onesimus. You know about him, not only did he run away, but what else was he charged with?
Probably stealing,
because, and what did Paul say about the thievery? That's right, see, he didn't say he was a thief, but he said, if he's taking anything from you, charge that to my account.
What kind of account did he have?
Spiritual account. What was the relationship between Paul and
Paul is letter to
the Lord. So that's a lot of account, isn't it? Yeah, it's a spiritual account. So because of Paul's faithful ministry, Philemon was led to Christ and became a Christian. So this is the second one. That's a faithful and beloved. One of you, what does that mean? Can we answer that last time? One of you.
It means
that Onesimus
was Father from Colossae.
Father from Colossae, absolutely. From Colossae, one of them. And so he's thanking these people. One of you, they shall make known unto you the things which are done here. What does he mean by here? Where is here?
Colossae.
Well, is it Colossae? Where is Colossae?
In
jail. In jail, Rome, okay. And how far is Rome from Colossae?
By the way.
By the way, that's probably
100 miles.
This is 100 miles, right here, 150. So 150, 300, 450, about 500 or 600 miles. I don't know how many. They have the crow flies, but of course, as they go by ship and down here, it's off by many more thousands of miles, about several hundreds of miles. So he was, the things that are down here. All right, now we end with verse 10. Aristarchus is the third one. What is he called? Why is he called a fellow prisoner?
He's in jail.
Probably in jail with Paul, a fellow prisoner. Do you think he was saved?
Yes,
probably was saved. And maybe Paul led him to the Lord. Who knows? Paul is in prison. He was faithful, didn't he?
I have a reference that we wrote down. Acts 19:29. I think there must be an Aristarchus there.
Okay.
I'll look it up and see what we see. Acts 19:29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater.
That's Aristarchus, a companion in travel. That's very good,
Macedonian?
He's a Macedonian, then. From Macedonia.
Right here.
Okay. So, Aristarchus was the third one, 12th prisoner. How was the fourth one's name? What? Verse 10.
Mark.
Now, wasn't he sister's son divided? Sister's son, what would that mean?
Blood related.
All right, now, what do we know about Marcus? Civil banker, what is someone?
His name is Mark.
Same as Mark, that's one thing you know.
He forsook Paul and Barnabas, the first missionary journey.
First missionary journey, forsook Paul and Barnabas. Yes, and went home to Mama or somewhere, yes, Anna?
But it was interesting because God told them to separate Paul and Barnabas into ministry, but he didn't say to separate Mark. So
that's right.
So Mark didn't exactly, it doesn't seem like he had it going on anyway.
Mm-hmm. So he was sort of a third wheel, wasn't he?
He wasn't separated. He was too young.
He wasn't ready. But there's a prayer meeting in the book of Acts. At whose house?
Mark's mother's house.
And then at the last book, I think in 2 Timothy, what does Paul say about Mark that forsook him?
He has profit run to you
for the ministry. So did they reconcile?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for two Christians that have odds to reconcile?
Mm-hmm.
You better believe it. Then?
And Barnabas and Paul then split up because Barnabas wanted to support Marcus, and he took him with him and took Silas with him.
Oh, took Silas, so they split up two ways, yeah, huh?
Mark wrote one of the Bible books.
One of the Bible books, that's right. Gospel according to Mark.
I think Peter speaks about Mark, too.
They say that Mark was friends with Peter. Peter's friends with Mark, so that's right.
Mark is the same as Mark.
Same as the Gospel of Mark, that's right. Same as the Gospel of Mark, yes.
When Peter got out of jail, when Rhoda came to the gate, was that
Mark's maybe he was. I think that's the mother's house of Mark. So, but his mother must have been a Christian lady because they had a prayer meeting at her house and Mark was brought up there. So we know that Marcus is mentioned here in some of us. But you may receive commandments. What is the commandments?
Orders.
Things that I want you to work, want you to do. Now what did Paul say about him in verse number 10?
Receive him if he comes to you.
If he comes to receive him. What would that imply about receiving him?
Treat him good.
Treat him well. Several Sundays ago, we talked about a man
who did not want to receive people into the church. What was that man's name, if you remember? What was it?
John 3, John.
Yeah, what's that?
Theodosius,
he loves to have the preeminence, and then it comes in, he throws them out of the church. He doesn't want to be received, see? So there are some people who don't want to receive people, see?
Inhospitable.
That's right, inhospitality. So, but here, receive him. In other words, Paul is commending Marcus, and that's a good attitude. Even though they differed on different things, they got back together. And so it's good to have Christians that know how to do that. And then that's the fourth one. Now the fifth one in verse 11, what's his name?
Jesus.
Called Justice, okay. This isn't Jesus, the Lord Jesus, but that's his name. And called Justice, and he's of the circumcision. What does that mean?
Jewish
believer. He's saved. He's a saved Christian Jew. Any comments, questions at pftbc.org, give us an email, Dan's here, you can take it, or simply call us, 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. You got that, Bill? Oh, I guess I couldn't see it. Can you read it there?
Oh, yeah.
The cotton and eggs, it looks so full. You sure think you got the wrong one, Bill? Is that the one that's got the email on?
Sunday, 1:30 p.m. meeting.
But you got to get the email.
We probably do.
Yeah, the one that's simple.
What's
you have got a whole lot of lines, you see.
So how many lines do you want?
Just four. Sorry, it's four. There's another one that Bill. I think we have just a pain. Alright, give us a call. 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. Yeah, that's a lot. It's a simple one. We like to have it be simple for all of us. A little more simple. Okay? So, alright, so this man here is Justice, a certain Jewish believer. They also my fellow workers. What does that mean?
Must be a missionary.
Possibly. What else? What does this mean, fellow worker?
Servant.
They were
of the same mind and
okay.
They were
for
the same purpose.
Alright, working together. So here we have four different adjectives that qualify these people. What's the first one? Yeah, different ones.
Brother.
Another one?
Minister.
Hello?
Prisoner.
Oh, prisoner.
Minister.
Fellow
servant.
Fellow worker.
Fellow worker.
Faithful minister.
And beloved. So you got all these different adjectives for these different workers. So Paul is commending all of it. Fellow workers. Now, just because someone is working with you, can they all be called fellow workers? In what sense does fellow workers mean? Is this by somebody sitting outside in the workplace?
No, they're doing the same job.
They're doing the same job.
The gospel.
They're all obviously they're actually working, see? With, together.
I heard a good part of the message a short time ago about fellowship. And how the Bible says, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just talking about, oh, get together, have dinner, and have a nice little meeting together. That's not fellowshipping. Fellowshipping, in the sense of the Bible, that word in the Bible, is to really work together for a common purpose, to be united in one mind and activity for a common purpose. And in that regard, there is not really a lot of Christian fellowship today, working for common purposes.
Yes, that's true, I'm telling.
There is some you have these pro-life groups. There's some good fellowship there. They're working together.
Though not necessarily Christian folks. They're still working together. That Greek word is koinonia. That's koinosis in common, things in common, working together the fellowship. So we have then Justice, or Jesus, or called Justice, fellow workers under the kingdom of God. It's been a comfort unto me. What does this imply about this man, Jesus, or Justice? Have been a comfort unto me.
It's an understanding, man.
All right.
Could be physical comfort.
Physical
too.
Comfort. Probably visited the prison there in Rome and brought back some good news and comfort. Did Paul need comfort?
Yes.
Exactly.
Was he not an apostle of the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
And as such, was he not a high person as far as the ministry?
Yes.
But he still needs the comfort?
Yes.
Okay, that means that none of us are excluded, see, that need comfort. Whether pastors, missionaries, apostles, whatever, they need, this is a proof of that. They're comfort unto me. See, Paul, Did he have the flesh as well as the spirit?
Yes.
Yes, every Christian has the flesh and the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. And so there can be a discomfort if the flesh is exalted. There's got to be a comfort. And certainly justice was a comfort to Paul, and he said so. Okay, by the way, notice the quotes have been. Now, wait a minute, they have been is a singular plural.
What's the
plural? So, it includes how many people, possibly?
It could be go back to Marcus.
Marcus, could be Aristarchus, could be Onesimus, could be Tychicus, could be the whole gang, see, up to this point.
I think you mentioned Paul. Is he high and he doesn't, does he need comfort? You know, and even Jesus expressed several times, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, couldn't you watch for 1 hour with me? He wanted their comfort, he wanted their assistance. And when he, in going into the Palm Sunday, and he says, if only they'd really known what was really going on here, that their Savior was really coming, and then they don't understand it. And other times, he's meek and lowly of heart, that he really could have used comfort, but people just didn't understand, really. That just the great sacrifice and the great, what he was going through.
He needed comfort, but did he give comfort to people? Does he still give comfort to people?
Yes.
When he went away, what did he say about comfort?
I'll
leave you comfortless, I will
send
a comforter. Who is that referred to?
The Holy Spirit.
A comforter. And the Holy Spirit of God came in Acts chapter 2, and he's with us. Everyone saved today is indwelled by the Spirit of God. Every generally saved first. Yvonne?
I remember one time, this is a long time ago, we didn't have a church, we had BFT, I guess, but it was me in the beginning. And a man came here once a week to see a nurse that would come here and meet him. Mm-hmm. He was the founder of a graphic organization. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if I should get his name or not, but...
Just go ahead and talk about it.
And I had a living room then. I was a regular person then.
A regular person then, but was a living room then.
And he was sitting here waiting to see, talking to this lady. And I thought about him, and he was on the radio, and had a ministry that you heard about all the time.
Yes.
And I thought, if he were just an ordinary person, just Mr. Joe Smith or something, I would go in there and I would talk to him. He had cancer.
Yes.
And he was a dying man, and I would talk to him and comfort him. And I thought, why should I not go in there just because he's this big man?
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there and I talked to him, just like I would if he was just ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he appreciated it. I mean, he received me.
Yes.
Like an ordinary person, because he had a very serious disease.
Yes,
and then when he'd call, and I would talk to him like an ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, how are you feeling? And he would tell me. Because he wasn't taking anything for this. Mm-hmm. Well, he was taking with us. That's another story. So, That's what I think about comfort.
Yes. We all need comfort, and certainly he died of cancer. And he did die. He did die several months later of cancer. In fact, the one that was treating him also is dead now and died.
But not of cancer.
Not of cancer, but anyway. But it's interesting. Back to the past.
I forget what I brought that on.
Well, about a comfort, I mean, verse 11.
Yeah.
Right.
Comfort is in two places. In verse 8 and verse 11.
Yes, in two places.
We do have a ministry of comfort.
Yes.
When God puts you through a person through a lot of problems and sorrows and sickness and all the things, He says we will be able to comfort those with the comfort that God has given us.
Yes.
If we have never been comforted, we can't understand, no matter how much we try. For instance, when David died, right away I thought about Cass. Right away. And I wanted to call her, but you told me not to call her. You said, I won't tell everybody at once. But I knew she would understand me.
She lost her son.
I knew she would understand me. And I thought how little, even though I cared, how little I understood her when her son died. Even though I cared, I wanted to make wrong. And how little I understood my mother's grief.
Your mother lost one of your sisters.
You know, and my two grandmothers. I always forget that Grandma Sandra lost Aunt Florence. And then my Uncle Richard died. How little I understood these people. So God gives you comfort from your own problems. So that's yes. What this man did to Paul.
Uh-huh.
Whatever his name was, their justice.
Uh-huh. Here's a comfort. Well, just like when Pastor Bill Adams in Canada, he's one of the students that came into our Greek class, first year Greek class years ago, one of our Greek classmates. And he's a pastor now in Canada. He's got a good church started up there. And he has some friends, James Catanari, I believe his name. I don't remember his last name, but James came here to visit us one time with his, his son.
And I sent him a birthday card.
And a birthday card. And Pastor Adams said that he's now, James has come down with cancer of the bone. And he sent me an email, gave me his email address, and I wrote James. I told him about how I'd gone through this cancer 25, 26 years ago. And I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're facing. And so I tried to be of comfort, and I trusted
him. I read that email. Yeah. It was not too many words, but very dramatic to me.
Yes, well, that's what we're going to get that.
Like with Bonnie said too, Pastor, she couldn't understand. But that's why the Lord lets us be comfort, like we said, because then you can comfort someone else.
Yes.
I lost my sister, lost her husband in her late 30s, and she'd come over all the time, talk to me about it. But I really couldn't understand it.
Yes.
I really didn't. I tried to.
Until you lost your husband.
I lost mine,
yes.
And I understood.
And it's the way that we experience things, don't we? Yeah. A bit more
when you have experienced it, it's a whole different.
Not that we want to experience tragedy, but when we do experience tragedy, we can understand other people going through the same tragedy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, like somebody says, I know how you feel because so-and-so died. And so the person who's had the sudden loss knows that person knows.
Yes.
It's just a spirit-to-spirit thing.
Right.
And I know that Cass knows. And she doesn't have to say anything.
It's similar to pastors that have had difficulties in church splits and breakups, able to comfort and talk about how pastors are split.
Right.
Until you've been through something, you don't really understand what it's all about. And it's interesting. Every bad thing that happens, for instance, in my ministry, different things, whether in the chaplaincy or out of the chaplaincy, whatever, each one prepares you for another one. See, that comes. But it's not going to always stop having problems and difficulties and great tragedies. You just get prepared. Prepare pretty soon. The Lord gives you an ability to conquer it and to put up with it and to be comforted and able to go on and survive amidst all these and joyfully survive. That's why I guess that it's best to have pastors a little more mature rather than just right out of college or seminary. See, I think the maturity is very important. Very important indeed. Come in, Joanne. Good to see you. So, anyway, some of the old experience that you have is important. Yeah, Tanya.
So I'm going to first say that we get, so that we get comfort. Someone who is in any circumstance.
Yes.
So that experience that we have, that comfort that we get from God, is going to help in any situation that someone's in. We should be able to comfort them, irregardless of whether or not we have been in that same exact scenario.
That's right.
Because sometimes we may have been in the same scenario, but they may never know it. And it doesn't really matter if they know it. What matters is that the comfort that we have received, they receive from the experience that we have had.
Yes. That's true.
Right. You can feel it when someone's actually comforting.
We're in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Yeah,
is there
something?
2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Yes, as Tammy said, covers in any trouble, any kind of trouble. We can, if the God, the Lord, who is the God of all comfort, can give us comfort to comfort others.
Yes.
Right.
So then in verse number 12, we have another name. What's his name?
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes, go ahead, Christine.
You know, sometimes you try to comfort people, but they don't want your comfort. How do you handle that?
Okay. What do you think?
You walk away. You leave.
Okay, that's one answer. Who's got another answer? People don't like your comfort. What do you do, Anna? What do you do?
You pray for them.
Pray for them? Oh, what else? Huh?
It takes time sometimes.
All right.
Because we don't exactly know where that person who needs the comfort is coming from. It takes time because they've been so hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
But as far as the ministry, the person's trying to comfort them and they don't receive it, I guess,
it's difficult to be rejected.
To be sort of, thank you, and sort of disappear into the woodwork or something. Yes, Adam?
Sometimes it's like people, they really deep down inside want to comfort, but for some reason they're pushing it away.
That's right.
But because they think that they want it, they don't want to accept the fact. I'm not explaining it very well, but...
Hello?
They just don't want it.
Leave them alone. Give them comfort by leaving them alone.
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes a person, they have... you're trying to comfort somebody about something, and like I said before, they don't really understand. The person has maybe a grief for certain reasons that you're not able to address because you just don't understand what they are, the person trying to comfort. Mm-hmm. May just have no idea what, and can't really relate.
Yes.
And there's no way you can relate. And so
sometimes the comfort seems hollow, I guess, to some people.
Well, it's what I'm saying is it's shallow to the person that needs the comfort because it can't really be addressed. It can't know the details of the importance and that kind of thing, circumstance.
Someone who... Yes, Anna?
We have an email from the Bear Republic.
Dear Bear Republic, is that not
the I just want to say hello to a
California.
California, and thank you for the student letter was ready. The Farfield. Okay, then we have some...
Joan Alfascia, go ahead, Anna.
Here. Watching you online, always a blessing. Fred Knapp in Florida.
Fred, good to hear from you, Fred. You called us a couple weeks ago, so that's great. Call us again.
Here's something. When my wife is from the same person.
Fred Knapp?
Yeah.
Okay.
When my wife and I had a miscarriage, this is the verse that helped us to understand why. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of our comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort whereof we ourselves are comforted of God.
Thank you, Fred, and your wife to say hello and call us again. We appreciate you listening to us. Speaking of comfort, I know of a lady who lost her husband in death, and she said to me and my wife, you know, it's a shallow type of thing when Christians come to me and they quote Romans 8:28, which is a good verse. All things, what is it?
All things
are all work together for good to them that love God and the call of our servant. But this person, they just get so shallow. I don't know why that person said that. That's the reaction to that person who lost her husband and the scriptures. It's true the scripture should all things work together, but people, some people aren't ready for that. It's just too quick. I don't understand. But I've heard that from this lady and a friend of ours. Anna?
Well, it's like, sometimes it could be like, the person might be thinking, yeah, I know that, but I just need some, it's like, people just quote scriptures, but sometimes it's like the people might be thinking, yes, I already know that. Or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just.
That's
good. Sometimes they maybe just need to be able to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody will let them mourn, and they're always telling them how they need to cheer up. Or,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the same thing as Tony was saying. Other people can comfort you, maybe that have not had a loss of a loved one or a husband, but a person who has actually been through that can minister to that person so much better
yes.
than someone who, you really have no, I mean, I don't know, maybe
right.
it can affect other people, but maybe Joanne could, that was the biggest thing in my life, that losing my husband.
Yeah, sure.
Did you feel that way, Joanne?
Yeah, because it's such a part of your life.
Yeah, and it's hard for someone else to minister to that unless they yeah. meant about it. In fact, there was people that had lost their husbands that could
yes.
help me through it.
Yeah, when you do everything with that person and they're suddenly gone, your whole life changes.
Yeah.
Larry, you got something?
I was just scratching.
Oh, okay. So much.
Sometimes sometimes the way you can comfort someone is not by giving them some big long speech, but just by listening
yes.
to them.
Yes.
And because when my Uncle David died, I had this friend of mine, and I just talked to her a lot, and she just listened, and it just helped a lot.
Yes, sometimes.
Because she was listening to me, and I had just lost my uncle.
Yes, questions at BFTBC.org, or give us a call, 856-261-9018. Are you listening to us? Call us and tell us. Sometimes, am I right or wrong? Sometimes it's more difficult to listen than to talk. Is that right or wrong?
That's right.
Sometimes it's more difficult to listen than to talk. Sometimes it's more difficult to talk than to listen. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's true too, see. Abraham Lincoln had a word for that. We've used that many times.
Better to hoard your peace and be thoughtful than to open your mouth and remove all possible doubt.
That's a good one. But also another one, like I don't know who said it, David Link, to sin by silence
oh, yes.
when we should speak up makes cowards in men. To sin by silence when we should speak up makes cowards in men. So, but silence and listening, so this is all from verse number 12. Is it verse number 11 still?
There's been empathy and sympathy, which you've already made before. But
empathy and sympathy. Tell me the difference, Dan. That's right.
Well, I mean, in sympathy, you can kind of empathy. Actually, are going. You have felt what they thought, or very something very close to what they thought. With sympathy, you really haven't felt it or gone through it, but you can be a somewhat of a comfort, kind of theoretically understanding what they're going through.
Tammy?
It's possible to listen so well that you actually begin to empathize, even though you've never been through the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just listening and you're thinking about what they are going through.
And sometimes when you listen, if you have empathy, and you talk to someone who's sick, you could become ill, same as that person. But my wife has done that. She talks to many different friends that have a very serious mental illness, for example. By the time she finishes that talk, she herself is sick. She's got empathy. Empathy, two Greek words. An is in, kateo to feel, to feel in. But sin is with, sympathy, feel with, feeling. You're feeling with, but is it not just side to side? This is inside, right? It's inside the person. So that's empathy versus sympathy. Those are good differences. Questions about that. So what verse did we get on to? Verse 11, we got about sympathy. Very good about sympathy and comfort. That was way back in verse number
11.
Okay. Comfort on me. All right. 9, let's see, 10, 11, we have 12. Now, what's this next person? Verse 12. Epaphras, okay. Again, one of you. What does that mean?
He must be from Colossae.
From Colossae, all right. What is told about him?
Servant of Christ.
Servant of Christ. Now, you can be a servant, but a servant of Christ, what would that mean if you're a servant of Christ?
We still have him back in Philemon 23.
Alright.
And he's mentioned in Philemon 23. Alright. And it's interesting because he also says Marcus and Aristarchus as well in the next verse.
Alright. So, Epaphras was a servant of Christ. Servant meaning what?
He did God's work.
Did God's work, God's will.
Now,
Is a servant the same as a master?
No.
The opposite. One is this will be slave, do us, and simply doing the will of another, servant of Christ.
Saluted. You want to tell me salute? It's an old English word.
Greet.
Greet. It says greet. That's right. Just greet. Of course it is. Yes, Tammy?
In Philemon, it says that he was a fellow prisoner.
Fellow prisoner.
So maybe he was, would he be in at this time?
Possibly right there, fellow prisoner. Also another place. But being Rome, the same as Paul. Epaphras, I salute you. Now, what's it always laboring? What is the word labor? What's labor mean?
To work.
There was a group formed during the presidency of, what's his name? FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, called the Works Progress Administration. WPA. What did some people refer to that as they see the workers along the highway? What do some people refer to WPA, or if you remember?
Well, which side? The good side of the
bad side?
Well, a lot of things.
We poke along. And some people say, but they come on just on the poles, you know, just saying. But anyhow, be that as it may, the people labor, that means you actually work, am I right? Mm-hmm. You don't just have a title, I'm a laborer, I'm a worker, but you actually do the working, see?
But they needed jobs there.
They needed jobs.
They gave a job.
That's right. And when the money ran out, no work out. But anyway, laboring means actually working. It doesn't just mean have an office so that you call the labor. So, how does he labor? What further? How does that refer to? How does that mean?
Means he's a hard worker.
Hard worker, feverishly, very strong worker, and doesn't let up. Are all workers working feverishly or fervently?
No.
Why not?
Because they're lazy.
That's their lazy, right?
They're working for themselves.
Working for themselves, not for the Lord Jesus Christ, son. What makes a person lazy?
Doesn't have anything to do, and he doesn't want to do anything. He's not aggressive. All he wants to do is take his time about everything.
All right.
Attitude, that's what it comes down to.
Attitude, all right.
Hasn't been taught the proper work.
Proper work ethic, as they say, work ethic. Our granddaughters were talking about that when we visited a man in Florida just the other week. Work ethic. This one has the same work ethic as I have, and so they're working hard together. Yes, Tammy.
Maybe they don't have the right purpose.
All right, maybe not purpose. All right, working feverishly, working fervently.
How old is Megan?
Megan, let's see, she's about 25, is it? 20?
It said in the article 25.
25 is Megan, and Kristen is 28, is it? 85. Well, 25. She's a painter. She works part-time for her what do you call this? When you get your social security, you get your benefits. She works 20 hours for the coffee place. What's that name?
Starbucks.
She works 20 hours for that to get her what do you call those dividends or benefits. And then she's a painter. She works and sells paintings. And, she's going to walk into she's working right now a sort of a internet situation. She's got, she and two gentlemen are trying to get an internet going that will be communicating to people for jobs and different things. And so she's part of that as well. But, she's an artist, and sometimes artists, you know, they sell their paintings and people buy them, but other people don't like the paintings. But it's different paintings. I can see some of the people's paintings. You know, what is that? See? But anyway, be that as it may, she apparently people like her paintings. She sells some for $500, some for $600, some for $1,000, some for $1,200, $1,300. I mean, this is some of her paintings, so people want to buy them. And she has a studio. She paints and different things. So, old Megan, she's a painter. So, she's 25 and Kristen.
She's an artist.
She's an artist.
She don't
know any
artists.
Well, I guess an artist, if you want to say. All right.
She could.
She could say how, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So here we go back with that. Epaphras, one of you always labor fervently for you. How is he laboring in this verse 12?
In his prayers.
How does someone labor fervently in prayers?
Just like we're doing here.
Like Elijah.
All right. Is that?
Like Elijah.
What did Elijah do with his prayer?
He prayed earnestly.
What happened to his prayer?
It was answered.
What did he pray?
It was not
rain
for 3.5 years.
Did the Lord answer that prayer?
Yes, he did.
And then
he prayed that it would rain.
He saw a cloud no bigger than a man's hand. All of a sudden it started to rain. Ahab, the wicked king, was up there And the light that told you, you better get back fast. It's going to rain, never get your chariot down this this hill, this muddy road, unless you get there fast. He prayed fervently, and so he was a laborer in prayer. Now, some people can't work physically, but they can pray. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always that's the case. You stand by, just like the people out in the military with Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever it is. But we can stand back there, we can help, we can pray for them, we can give them supplies and so on. Just like missionaries. We can't all go, but we can pray for the missionaries, we can give them the funds and help to support them. So there's always people, he was a prayer warrior, certainly, laboring prayer. Now, what was the content and the object of his prayer? Very important object. In verse number 12.
Perfect and complete in the will of God.
That's he. Who's the he referred to? The Colossians. These Christians are Colossians. Should do what?
Stand perfect.
Stand perfect and complete. All right. First of all, stand. What does that imply?
No waver.
No waver? Perfect? What does that imply?
Mature.
I did grown up, see? And what are they to be standing perfect in?
The will of God.
Just Solomon?
All
the will of God. All right, now, what do you find the will of God?
The
mind of the Bible. The words of God have the word of God right in there, see? That's why it's so important. We get the right Bible. We get questions all the time in our email. What about the Bible for this situation? What about the NIV and the NASB and all these minor versions? But we always recommend them to go back to the King James Bible. Proper translation, the proper Hebrew, proper Greek, proper Aramaic, and excellently done. Questions at bftbc.org or simply call us 856-261-9018.
Greetings from the southern part of the 21st state, sometimes known as Little Egypt, where land ran wild in the 1920s. Looking forward to the issuance of the two new books in the Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas.
It was
Illinois. Southern Illinois, that's right.
The southern part of the 21st
state. Let's show it to them again, these two books. First of all, the first 200 questions answered. By Dr. Neely, and we say real questions for real people with real answers. So that's 175 pages. This is the first copy we've seen. It's a crowd copy. In 10 or 12 days, we're going to get all the different ones that will be coming. The second one, by Dr. DeVitro, that is by Dr. Williams, that's Cleaning Up Hazardous Materials, a recitation of Gail Ripperger's Hazardous Materials book. It's 416 pages, quite a bit larger, but a very well done and beautiful cover, and so that's coming along. Dale Ripperger has got a different view of the King James Bible than we have. We believe that she says that this God, the Holy Spirit, gave the words in English. Don't you dare use any Hebrew, don't you dare use any Greek. All the Greek texts and all the Greek dictionaries and lexicons are defiled, and just because a few things that differ with her Greek and so on. She doesn't want anybody. See, everything is in the King James, and that's it. And we stand for the King James Bible, but we also stand for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie. Very important. Right? Did you have? Oh, okay. Just wait. Did you stop that?
The Holy Spirit is given us the Spirit of Truth. God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth.
Right.
An advocate to come alongside of us to help us discern the truth.
That's right.
So, we just need to study and discern and pray to God for the truth and to try to make man statements. Man always wants to say, all right, I understand the program now. I understand what I have to do. Okay, God, thanks, I'll do it. thank you, God, I understand what the system is now. We always want to be able to develop a system without God. Okay, I got it, it's the King James in the English. Okay, God, I can just read that and know it. And it's God. We have to depend on Jesus.
Right. But to say that King James English has been God's Holy Spirit given by inspiration of God is false theology, see? It's not given by inspiration of God. This was a translation by men, not by God. This is the seventh edition we have right now. First edition, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Which one does Mr. Ripperger think is God's Holy Spirit given, see? And there are countless mistakes and errors. In the back of our book, Defending the King James Bible, we have all kinds of printer's errors.
in the King James Bible. For instance, we have to heed the sinner's Bible. One of the editions said, thou shalt commit adultery. They forgot the not, see? So it's ridiculous. And when she storms in and said, the only thing you can do is English, nothing about Hebrew. She doesn't even believe there is a Greek and Hebrew underlying this thing, see? And she's trying to tell preachers what to believe. And she's a woman preacher, a false teacher, and like Jezebel, a false prophet. But this book is a very excellent book on cleaning up the
adultery.
Sounds a little bit like not Sarah Palin. She's trying to clean up the mess that your friend, the president has got in see?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me.
My friend.
How many pages is the
Her book is 1,200 pages. This book is 416 pages. Many more things could be said, but Dr. DeVico just did his best to get the key things and answer them. Dr. Williams labored, he and his wife, Matt, labored. I don't know how many hundreds of hours to try to get into shape. Because Dr. DeVico was disabled. He had different pains and different things. All he could do was sit in a bed or a chair and talk in one of these talking machines. And spit out the things on the computer. Spelling errors, senses wrong, and they just labored and labored. In fact, Dr. Williams, I hope you don't mind me telling you, this is secret, but... Okay, I won't tell secret. Got a sensor here in the room.
Good monitor.
Anyway, they labored. It's an excellent job they've done, and a great job for
it. All over the world, everything you say.
Well,
you got
to just in reference to what you're talking about, that probably it's one of the dragon naturally speaking or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't know that version, but I have one of those, and it totally... mangled everything
yes.
I said. It wasn't even close.
Right.
That's probably the frustration.
That's exactly the frustration that Dr. Williams faced. And nothing to do with Dr. DeVito did his best because he couldn't use his hands. He was with a sling and different things. But all I can say is it was very, very difficult. It was a mess. But dear Dr. Williams, his wife, Pat, took that mess and made it non-mess. And this book is a wonderful thing. I looked at it, my wife looked at it. We have different suggestions and helps and so on. But he pulled the thing out, and he's a master of that, he and his wife. So let's praise the Lord for it. And we're sending it. There's about 135 key colleges, missionary agencies, and bookstores. 135. What we're going to do, we'll pick a third of those, about 45 or 46. We're going to send that with our conference. Dean Burkhardt Society is the publisher of this. We're going to send it with our conference to these key schools and missions and churches and bookstores, just to see what they are. Now, we're going to send them to some that agree with the lady. They don't agree with this. We just want to let them know that it's here. They wouldn't have to read it. They can throw it in the basket. We want to let them know we've answered this thing, and we have a different view than Jezebel that is trying to... See, it's one thing for a woman. She's not supposed to teach men, says in scriptures. Not suffering a woman to teach men and to be authority. And she certainly shouldn't be talking to pastors and teaching pastors. But the second or third thing, she shouldn't condemn or criticize pastors. She knocks pastors up and down the line. She had no business there, see? She wasn't?
A lot of people.
I know, but see, as a Christian, as she professes to be, she should follow the scripture. Anyhow, how did you get off on that? On the boat, I just told you the book. Let's go back as a first trial, as a first lay perfect, standing perfect and complete in all the words of God. If the word of God is found in the words of God, what does that mean in order to be complete? What must we do? What must we know?
Know it all.
Know all the
scripture.
Study to show that the word of God, the word of God, that he is not to be ashamed, raised in the man, the word of truth. Genesis Revelation, we should know the word of God and understand it and do it. That's what he labors and pray for. Let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. Right? No, we got three more minutes.
Oh, okay.
Two more for your lunch, sir.
I have to.
Okay, you're swimming fast.
I'm slow. One more comment and 12. Perfect and complete. People say, well, perfect really means complete.
Yeah, well.
If it meant complete, they wouldn't need it here.
Yes, that's right.
And perfect means more and different than complete.
All right.
It has a, you know.
Perfect means full, complete, full up to the brim. I think is one word for it. Full to the brim, complete. In other words, that I think is from Genesis Revelation. Now, we believe in the dispensations in our church. We believe that we're not all told to not eat of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. That was Adam and Eve. That's a different dispensation, different way of handling. We're not told to build an ark because we're going to flood. That's a different dispensation.
but not told about Abraham and the promise of human government, not told about the law of Moses, but not the law of Moses, but the grace. So, but anyhow, we learn the scriptures so that we can understand them and be complete in what God wants us to do for His work. Any other comments on 1 before 11, 13? We have a couple minutes. All right, let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. By bread and water, that He has made a seal for you, and then the name of the city, and then the Herodotus, Luke, the brother of the city, and Demas, Jesus, Luke, the brethren, was in the name of the city, and Memphis, and the church which is in his house. By verse 13, I bear him record. What does record mean?
The account of something that you did or
okay.
Other people did.
I got accounts, I witness, testimony, witness,
okay.
Record, that says that he had, what does he have? What's this man have in verse 13?
Zeal.
Zeal. That was such great zeal. What is zeal?
Enthusiasm.
Comes from zealous, which is burn in Greek. And of course, Mr. Rivers, you wouldn't want us to have it dead. See what that Greek word is. She's against all Greek words. But it means a burning, a zeal, burning up, see, a zealous for the things of the Lord. Now, is always zeal always right?
No.
When is it right and when is it wrong?
When it's right, it's right.
When it's right,
it's
right.
When it's
controlled by the Spirit.
All right.
It's right.
And zeal, yes.
Like Paul
and
I, great zeal to persecute the Christians, but
it
wasn't
right. That's right, it's the wrong direction. That's right. So, yes, yeah?
In Romans, it talks about how the Jews, they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Not according to knowledge. So zeal is enthusiasm, but it's got to be with knowledge, the proper direction. We have the charismatics and Pentecostals all over the world. Enthusiastic, speaking in tongues, rolling on the floor, just yelling and yapping and singing and carrying on like that. But that's, we don't believe that zeal, that enthusiasm is properly balanced with knowledge, proper knowledge of the Word of God. And so we've got to have both zeal and knowledge. Now, is it true that some people have all knowledge and no zeal?
Yeah.
Is that really bad?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? All knowledge and no zeal.
I don't do anything
on that. No good. They just have a big head and no other thing. Sit down and do nothing. Don't tell anything about the Lord. Don't read the scriptures. Don't preach. So you have to have a balance. And was Paul zealous as well as enabled intellectually and knowledgeable?
He
was both.
After
he was
saved.
Was it?
After
he was saved. Yeah, that. It's always good to be zealously effective in a good work. That's why the scripture verse is always zealous to be zealously effective in a good work. Oh, so he had a zeal, proper zeal, great zeal for you. Who's the you refer to?
The Colossians.
The Colossians. And what are we to see it? Where's that?
Laodicea is in Asia
Minor. One of these places right over here, one of this, yeah, this pink place. Laodicea. And so he had a zeal for those people, and he appreciated them and wanted them to be helped in all ways. Laodicea and Hierapolis, which is also that part of the world. Let's stop right here, verse 13. If you have any comments or questions before we close. Comments or questions? Yes. Questions at bfbbc.org. If you want to call us, 856-261-9018. Yeah, huh?
Besides announcing that Emily's going to be here again.
Yes. Emily Carroll is going to be here with her child, special music, next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Be sure to tune in and be sure to pray for that ministry that she will do a good job in the, on the child. She's very talented. Yeah, Lana, what else?
I had someone call me just now that read my devotional on jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really mixed up marriage life.